Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. Good morning. Happy Sunday. I want to thank you for tuning in. My name's Mike Harrison. Well, here we are, my friends. The last few days of March 2021. This year is off to a rapid start. At least it feels that way to me. Maybe some of you think the opposite. But before we get to the bones of our show, the facts are the facts. I want to say this. Where do you stand on your goals? 2021 is one quarter gone. 25% of the year of 2021 is over. Are you 25% forward on your goals, on your investing goals, on your real estate investing goals? I am. I absolutely am. In fact, I'd like to be a little further than I am, and I'm trying to get there, but we got to work and we got to take it day by day. But my friends, what are you doing today that will change your life tomorrow? Easter's next Sunday. I have a great show planned for next week. Easter is all about hope, rebirth, a bright future. And for me, real estate has provided hope and a bright future for myself and my family. So I want you to tune in next Sunday morning. Now, another note on timing. What time of year? What is it? What should we be doing as real estate investors this time of year? If you're a property owner, it's time to take a look at your property tax evaluations and decide whether you will challenge your evaluations. Will you just leave it to the city, the municipality to tell you how much you owe, how much the evaluation's gone up, or will you become involved in that? Personally, I challenge the tax on all of my properties, including my personal home. The property communities I'm invested in, the leads challenge the property tax evaluations every year. They're not always correct. Many times they're unfair. Many times they're just flat out wrong, and they need to be challenged. If you don't challenge them, you're just leaving money on the table. So why wouldn't you challenge it? And to go in more onto property tax evaluations and to challenge it, I've got an expert on the show today to share the best tips of property tax challenges, Glenn Goodrich of Goodrich Realty Consulting. Glenn is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. Good morning, Glenn. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Glad we can have you on. It's always good to have this topic. No one likes tax, and the only thing worse than tax is talking about tax, right? But you're the expert, so I wanted to have you on the show this morning. Why don't you give the listener a little bit of background about yourself?
Sure. Well, I run a website called propertytax.io, and we help people reduce their property tax burden every year. And that's kind of the nuts and bolts of what we do. We can get into more specifics as the show goes on.
Yeah, from what I understand, looking at it, essentially somebody, if they wanted to take on the burden of challenging the property tax themselves, they can go to your website and it walks them through or gives them the best tips, or how does it work? Let's go ahead and get into that.
Yeah, there's two routes. You can both ways you're going to be able to have access to our experts. So I call one way do-it-yourself, but it's more of a hybrid of you're going to go through the process yourself, but you have access to our evidence and our coaching along the way. And then the other route is just you simply can offload the whole process to us, and you can hire one of our agents to file the protest and navigate you through the process. We do it all in-house for you that way.
Okay, so they basically there's a self-performing path and then the traditional hire an agent and let them take it on for you.
That's right.
Is it different for your personal property versus a rental property, or is the process the same?
As far as residential goes, the process is the same. You're going to use the same kind of evidence on both types of property.
Yeah. Okay. Glenn, let's get into specifics. Is it worth the time for someone to protest their taxes? Why should somebody protest their taxes?
It's absolutely worth your time to protest your taxes. In Texas, it's all done through a mass appraisal method, and if you're not challenging the property tax, you are potentially leaving money on the table every year. And I heard your intro talking about, are you reaching your goals this year? Well, you know, part of it is acquiring new property, and in a hot market like we've got right now, that might be kind of difficult. And so challenging your property tax is concentrating on the cost of what you've already got, and that could be a way to increase your overall profit by reducing costs.
Yeah, I believe a lot of people don't challenge property taxes because, I mean, just saying the word challenge property tax comes to mind, the citizen against the government, the bureaucracy, a lot of paperwork. What's the reality? Is it an easy process? Is it difficult? Let's look at it for someone who's never done it before.
It's an easy process. A lot of people get intimidated because they kind of associate it with like the vibe of you got a speeding ticket and you got to go fight City Hall or court and, you know, talk to attorney. It's nothing like that. It's a really open process. The appraisal district is, they welcome you to file a protest every year. And kind of the stance, we were listening on a conference call with them the other day, their stance is, here's our opinion, but we're open to you changing our mind. And you got to bring evidence to the table. So it's not just you go and file a protest and it's an automatic reduction. You have to do your part in bringing evidence to the table or hire somebody competent that's going to provide that evidence to justify a reduction. But as far as, you know, you shouldn't be intimidated to go through that process. It's actually a part of being a good citizen, I think, in the state of Texas to keep the system in check.
Gotcha. It's not adversarial in any way.
No, not at all. It's very professional. It's expected hundreds of thousands, millions of people to go through this process every year in Texas.
Okay, so not only are we doing a good deed, we're giving ourselves the opportunity to save, at least speaking from my point of view, thousands of dollars every year.
That's right.
Okay, well, when we come back, Glenn, I want to get into this new property tax exemption based on the winter storms. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Dell Walmsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300-some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Dell Walmsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. I want to thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm your host, Mike Harrison. This morning we're talking a sensitive subject for real estate investors, well, for all property owners, frankly, and that's property tax. It's been a big issue. Our evaluations seem to be climbing at a really rapid pace, and the only way to essentially check that is to challenge your property taxes each and every year. I do it myself. My lead investors in my apartment communities, they do it each and every year. And if you have any questions, I have Glenn Goodrich here, who has a website called propertytax.io. It's not .com, it's .io. India Oscar, if you're into the military jargon, so it's propertytax.io. But if you have a question for Glenn or myself, the number's 855-497-4335. 855-497-4335. Feel free to give us a call right now, and we'll put Glenn on, and he'll answer your question. Or if you're catching this show on podcast, email me at askmike@luinc.com. So for you listeners, we invest in real estate to create passive income and ultimately buy our life back one chunk at a time. $400 on one house may pay your electric bill. $400 on the next house may pay your car note. The third house may cover your grocery bill, and so on. We call that chunking. But we need to be sharp, and we need to be effective, and we need to uncover every stone to be essentially as profitable as possible, right? To be ultimately effective so that we can ultimately create that financial freedom. And one very important item is to pay attention to your property tax. Therefore, you should challenge your property tax each and every year. So, Glenn, at the end of the last segment, and we had discussed earlier this week, and I wasn't even aware of it, there's a new exemption in Texas. This is local to Texas only, I believe. It's a taxpayer exemption based on the winter storms. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, it's actually not specific just to winter storms, but any kind of natural disaster. And it's a new exemption that went into place in 2020 in response to Hurricane Harvey. So it's not going to be an exemption that's going to help anybody and everybody who sustained damage from the winter storm, because that was classified as a natural disaster by Governor Abbott statewide. So geographically, everyone qualifies, but if you just had like a couple of thousand dollars in damage, that's really not going to help you. It's more going to be for people that sustain, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in damage. So if you had a pipe burst and sustained some flooding, it's going to be more for help those kinds of people out. But yeah, I mean, there is a deadline to file for this exemption. It's May 28th. So be sure and do that. It's going to automatically expire at the end of the year. So if you do get the exemption, it's just a temporary exemption. So it's not like a homestead exemption and that you get it for forever. But also kind of different from the homestead exemption is that it doesn't have to be your primary residence. So that's especially good for our listeners today that are own rental property. You're used to thinking, okay, exemptions only apply to my primary residence. Well, that's not the case with this natural disaster exemption. It applies to any property that you own. It could be a commercial property. So if you've got apartments, you can use that for the apartment. It can be for a rental property that you have. It could be for your primary residence, your lake house. So it's a much more broad exemption.
There was some terrible damage out there. So if somebody has a house that's worth $150,000 and sustained $30,000-$40,000 because of broken pipes or what have you, this would be for them, correct?
Yeah, kind of the example that we give, and we're just kind of using kind of like an average home value. You know, like let's say that you've got a $350,000 home, $50,000 of that might be in the land value. So that's going to be $300,000 in what we call the improvement, which is like the building, but it can also include things like the pool, you know, basically any improvement done to the land. But if you got $300,000 in the improvement, you'd probably need to have somewhere around $45,000 minimum in damage to qualify. And that's going to save you, you know, a little bit over $1,000 in taxes for this year. So if you have any more questions about that, you can go on to our blog post about that. We had a blog that we did on it and a video as well. It's blog.propertytax.io, and you'll see it as the first blog that's up there. And we kind of go into more detail on the nuts and bolts of the exemption there, including links to the documents on the state comptroller's office on the forms that you need to fill out for it. It's pretty easy to do. And I would just say if you have a question about it, go ahead and apply for it and before the deadline of May 28th, and you know, start making sure that you save your information. So a statement of loss from insurance, bids that you've gotten, invoices for any work that you've already done on it, So just make sure that you collect your documents and photos and use that as your evidence to quantify that reduction amount. And then just get the process started and see how the appraisal district receives that information that you've gotten. But, you know, just make sure that you don't miss the deadline. If you think you've got somewhere in the neighborhood of tens of thousands of dollars in damage, go ahead and apply for it. And, you know, the worst thing can happen is you get denied, but the best thing is that you can save some money this year on your property taxes from it.
Yeah, why not? So let's talk about that timeline for a second. Why is it set at May 28th? Is that essentially to coincide when all the protests should be completed?
No, it actually has nothing to do with that. It's in the law, it's 105 days after the governor declares a state of disaster. So that's just how the math worked out, that it would be May 28th, because it was 105 days after the governor declared a state of disaster.
I got you. And I watched the blog. The blog is excellent. It's a video. It's not a read as you go. So I thought it was great. It's about 8 minutes long. Very informative. It's information I was not aware of. I had some minor damage. I was lucky, but I know some folks that had some massive damages. So this is a nice offering for somebody to essentially save some money. So Glenn, is it deferred or it's just gone, right? They're just wiping out that portion of the taxable value of the property?
It's treated just like how a homestead exemption would be treated, which is it reduces your taxable value. Depending on the amount of damage you sustained, you'll reach different points of a reduction, but it reduces your taxable value on it. So it definitely can, you know, there's one person we're working with now that's going to save like $3,000 because of it. They had a rental property, nobody was there, and because they lost power, so the people had been in the house, and just the pipes burst and went crazy, so they sustained a lot of damage on it. And I'd also like to make the point that we're used to using condition information to get the value reduced during a protest. But since the damage occurred after January 1st of this year, you won't be able to use that information to get the value reduced during a protest process. The only way to get that is through this natural disaster exemption. So if you're arguing condition on your property, it has to have impacted the value on January 1st of that year.
That's important. Okay, so we'll come back. So there's really two things that our listeners need to do. One, protest your property tax. Two, if you have damage, take a hard look at this new taxpayer exemption as a result of the storm. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Now a word on retirement from Del Wamsley.
The average person thought they'd retire at 59 and a half, 60, then they said 64, then it was 65, then it was 66, then all of a sudden they jump right to 70. 70 is the new 59, 70 is the new 64, then it was, you know, hey, most people are going to work all the way into their 80s.
Do you really want to work in your 80s, or would you like to retire in 5 years or less? Find out how on Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And yes, we are working on your financial freedom. And one way to become free financially is to pay as less tax as possible. That's one of the primary reasons why we have chosen real estate to create that passive income and to create wealth, because of the tax advantages. But there are property taxes, and they seem to go up each and every year, especially here in Texas. So I have on show this morning my friend Glenn Goodrich, and Glenn is, I'll just say it, he's a property tax expert. He specializes in protesting property tax. So Glenn told us in the last segment that the cities encourage us to do it. They want us to do it. We are good citizens if we do it. People always think, oh, if you pay as much tax as possible, that's a patriotic thing to do. And I disagree wholeheartedly. If you have any questions at all, please give us a call. 855-497-4335. 855-497-4335. Or feel free to send me an email. Askmike@luinc.com. Glenn, when we left off, we had gotten into, we're talking about this new exemption that's out here in Texas. It's an exemption to the value of your property due to damage caused by the winter storm. But it was getting a little bit confusing, and I want to revisit it because there's the property tax. On one side, you have property tax protest, okay? And that's based on values January 1st. And then the second is we have this exemption that folks that have had severe damage can come in and offer after the fact. Can you go back into both of those again, please?
Right. So the exemption is just a brief recap. The exemption is for people that sustain damage during the winter storm, or really it's a natural disaster exemption, and the winter storm qualifies for that. And that can happen, you know, the natural disaster can happen at any time during the year. And so that exemption is prorated for the portion of the year that's left after the natural disaster occurred. So if it's at, if it's towards the end of the year, you might only get 25% of the exemption, whereas this one was at the beginning of the year, the winter storm. So I think you get like 88% of the exemption that, that qualifies for that. So the natural disaster exemption can happen at any time during the year as long as the governor declared a natural disaster. And it depends on when that natural disaster was declared that judges the portion of the year that you get the exemption for. Now, what's more, and natural disasters are kind of rare, or I mean, well, I don't know so much anymore in Texas, but because with flooding and all that, but what's every year that you can count on every year is this January 1st date, and that's more tied to the normal protest process. And why January 1st is probably the most important date in property tax in Texas is that the appraisal district is valuing your property as of January 1st of every year. So if you have any kind of condition issues that are normal, like let's say I've got a foundation damage or something like that, and I got a bid from October of 2020 and I haven't fixed it yet, or maybe I fixed it in February of 2021. Well, a hypothetical buyer of that property would have said, hey, on January 1st of 2021, there's foundation damage to this property and I'm going to price that property appropriately based on that damage. So you can use that information to lower your value. So that's different than a natural disaster. That's just kind of normal business for property taxes, any kind of condition issues that impacted the value on January 1st.
Gotcha. And this disaster, if I heard you right, they're actually prorating it over the timeline of the year. So if they said, hey, your property is worth $200,000 and then you had this disaster in February that did $45,000 in damage, they're gonna say, well, for 1 month of the year, it was worth the $200,000, and then for the remaining 11 months, you can apply that $45,000 exemption. Did I hear you right on that?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. Like if you had $45,000 in damage, you would just multiply that by 80. They would reduce your value, you know, $45,000 times 88%.
Okay.
So it's same gist as what you said, essentially.
Gotcha. It just seems really daunting. How would one go about submitting for this exemption?
Well, there's a document that the state comptroller provides specifically for this exemption. And again, we have a link to it on the blog post that we did that you can find at blog.propertytax.io, or you can just Google, state comptroller natural disaster exemption, and there'll be a PDF that pops up. You just fill out that PDF. You provide as much evidence as you can right now. So photos, statement of loss, invoices, estimates, bids for work to be done. And if you've already done work to it, that's fine. You can still submit receipts for that. And you file it through your appraisal district. So I would go to your appraisal district's website, and a lot of them have a big announcement on it on their homepage right now because it's kind of a big deal. And they'll tell you how to get that information to them. A lot of them are going to work it through email. So you'll just get the documentation, kind of organize it in a PDF and email it to the appraisal district. The important thing is if you're overwhelmed by the evidence and all that, just submit the form that you can get and just get that part done by May 28th and then worry about the evidence later. But I would suggest that you do all of it at one time to make the process easier. But that, so it's not that hard to do. You've got all the information you need, so you don't need to hire someone to do it because essentially they're just going to ask you to give you everything that you've already got at your disposal. There's really nothing that a professional can do for you that you can't do for yourself on this particular exemption.
Gotcha. So get the form done by May 28th, and then you've got some extra time to gather your invoices, your evidence of damage, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend that you do it all at one time. But if you're overwhelmed by that, and you're, you know, it, at a minimum, just get the documentation, the form in by May 28th.
Okay. And how long do you think it's going to take them to make a decision? I mean, is someone going to look at it, the city, and just stamp approved and send you an email, say, we're good? Or what's that side look like?
I think that they're going to have, the appraisal districts are going to have to certify their tax rolls first, which that happens in mid to late July. And then after that, they're going to revisit all of the exemption information and then offer it at that point, because we don't get our tax bills until October of this year. So the appraisal districts know that they've got a little time to deal with it. And they're so focused on protests during this year. You know, hopefully a lot of us are making them busy by filing protests, you know, good legitimate protests with good evidence, but they're going to worry about that. So you got to meet that May 20th deadline, but you probably won't see any kind of movement on it until, I would say, in the fall of this year.
I hear you. Okay, that makes sense. Is somebody going to come look at your property from the city?
Potentially, they could. That's not unheard of that would happen, but I think you can, if you provide good documentation to them that's verifiable, then, you know, that would probably be a process that they would be comfortable making a decision based on that. But in extreme circumstances, they might go out and visit the property if, you know, upon your request or coordinating it with you.
Right. And I can imagine their time is valuable. So if they do send somebody out to look at some of these properties, they're probably going to look at the worst ones, places that have hundreds of thousands, if not higher, on these properties. Does this apply to commercial buildings?
Yes, it applies to commercial buildings. So if you own some apartment or, you know, small stuff that doesn't, maybe like a, you know, fourplex or even, you know, 8 units, 12 units, that applies to all of those kinds of properties.
Okay, strip centers, business, restaurants, that sort of thing.
All of that. It actually even applies to what's called business personal property as well, which is, let's say that you've got a restaurant and you had two floors, and this happened to someone we know, where flooding, I've been on the first floor and leaked down, and it ruined a bunch of pool tables and stuff like that. Yeah. So it applies to business personal property as well.
Wow. What a process. There's going to be a lot to this as it continues to unfold. Well, Glenn, when we come back, I've got some more questions, and we'll continue talking about challenging your property tax, why you should do it, and we'll dig a little more into this exemption. My name is Mike Harrison. This is the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I want to thank you for tuning in on this beautiful Sunday here in Dallas-Fort Worth. My name is Mike Harrison. We are talking about property tax, challenging property tax, the new taxpayer exemption that you may not know about. As a result of the winter storms, if you had some serious damage to any of your properties, your personal property, commercial property, rental properties, there is a new taxpayer exemption based on that damage to the winter storms. Something you may not have known about. I didn't know about it. And I've got my friend Glenn, who is a property tax protesting expert, here on the show today, and he's telling us about it. But before we get back into that, I do have some great news to share in regards to Lifestyles Unlimited. We are a mentoring and educational group. We have members all over the country, all 50 states. We have members outside of the United States, believe it or not. Live where you want, invest where you want. We just opened a new office in Atlanta, Georgia. We've had members in Georgia, a very strong group of members in Georgia. And we went ahead and opened a physical office in Georgia. Real estate is booming in Georgia. So I wanted to make that announcement. And also I want to talk about our Wealth and Passive Income Expo. It's here in Irving, Texas at the Irving Convention Center, September 3rd and 4th. And if you haven't made plans to attend that, I highly recommend you attend that. It is the largest real estate investor event of its kind in the United States. There's breakout sessions. You can meet other investors. You can talk to consultants, mentors, the Lifestyles Unlimited team, educators. You can also meet deal sponsors, passive investors, single family investors. All kinds of people will be there. It's a wonderful time. We also have the multifamily masters tours. Our vendors will be there. They'll have tables set up. You can spend time and talk to them. But again, if you need more information, that's the Wealth and Passive Income Expo.com. And here's an opportunity to save $97 off of any pass or package. Use promo code Mike, M-I-K-E, all caps. Again, that's the Wealth and Passive Income Expo, and it's September 3rd and 4th. Glenn, in the last segment, we were digging into some of the, I'll just call it the nitty-gritty of property tax protest. But what kind of evidence does one need to successfully protest their taxes?
Well, we've been talking a lot about condition evidence today, you know, mainly with the natural disaster exemption. But if you do have condition information, make sure that it impacts. And when I say condition information, I mean things like roof damage, foundation damage, maybe even just like a completely original kitchen that needs to be gutted. Make sure that it impacted the value on January 1st of the year that you're filing the protest. So January 1st of 2021 for this year.
Yeah.
A more common method of getting a reduction is using a sales comparable analysis. So you're looking at recent sales in the neighborhood and you're saying, you know, houses 1, 2, 3, and 4 sold for this amount and they're comparable to mine because they're similar in size, location, land value, quality, all those factors. And a buyer that would be that would buy my property on January 1st of this year would use those as comps to price my property. And appraisal district, you've got me too high based on this sales comparable analysis that I have.
Okay, and to jump in, those sales comparables need to be prior to January 1, 2021. So, for instance, like a December sale or November sale, correct?
Well, those are great sales, December, November sales, and this is actually where there's differences between the appraisal districts. So, like as a quick example, Collin County has a cutoff date of January 31st. So you can actually go all the way to January 31st of 2021 to pull comp. But in other counties, like Harris County or Dallas County, Denton, other counties, they can go beyond that January 31st deadline. So the best sales would be December of 2020. But you can, yeah. And for example, in Dallas, I've seen them throw out an April, in this case, an April of 2021, even a May of 2021 sale. So you can go beyond those dates. It just depends on the appraisal district.
So it's individual by county. It's too bad that they can't make it all the same.
There's a lot of differences in the whole process and the evidence and methodologies between the appraisal districts, and we could do a whole show just on that. And that's kind of the benefit of hiring somebody or at least going to our website to navigate the – because there's no generic rules that we can provide for property tax in Texas. It's actually very specific for the county that you're in.
Is there any more in-person protest? I know a lot of that changed as a result of the COVID flu.
Yeah, again, that's going to be an appraisal district by appraisal district. You know, it was kind of crazy in Tarrant County last year. I actually was able to do in-person hearings last year. That was the only appraisal district that I could do those in. All the other ones were remote.
Yeah.
If I had to throw out a general statement, I would say it's mainly going to be remote again this year, which is why it's really important to kind of organize your information and kind of like you're submitting a report in school for a grade and you don't have the opportunity to tell the teacher, oh, this is what I meant by that.
Yeah.
They're going to have to understand what you meant by the information that you submitted. So it's important to take a little bit more time up front and organize your information better than you might have in the past.
Would you say, and I'm just thinking out loud, that some of these operational changes, especially with all this stuff moving online, has that made it, and you might have to answer this, I guess, in the thought of, you're a young guy, so I know you're technologically savvy, but not everybody out there has the skills, the online skills that you have, that you've been able to develop. Would you say this process has made it easier or more difficult?
Well, I actually think it's easier. You know, it's more convenient, I think, because I don't have to take time out of my day to go down to an in-person appraisal review board hearing if I'm just a normal homeowner. I can call in and do it from there. And you've always been able to do that, but they're encouraging that more. And I can tell you from having it done both ways that I didn't see any difference in my results by doing a telephone hearing last year versus in-person hearings in the past.
Same results.
I think it's more convenient. You know, a lot of people miss their hearings because they don't want to take time off of work. They file the protest, but you know, half the people don't show up for the hearing. Well, now you can just call into the hearing, or you can even submit your information by affidavit, and you don't even have to be there or call in for it. So I think in some ways it's more convenient.
Gotcha. So let's get into costs. Is there a filing fee for someone to challenge property taxes, anything like that?
No. There's no fee to file a protest for property tax. There's really no risk in filing a protest for property tax because there's a new law that was actually passed that the appraisal district can't increase your value as the result of a protest. A couple of years ago, that was a concern that people could actually have their value increased during a hearing. New law passed that they can't do that anymore. So there's literally no risk. There's no cost to filing a protest.
That would be vicious. You can see a municipality say, well, thanks for coming. Now that I see the picture of your house, it's much nicer than I thought. Therefore,
it rarely happened, but it was kind of a looming threat. But now it's not a threat anymore. There's no risk anymore.
Okay. Speaking of laws, wasn't there something that was passed that prevented the percentage of increase that cities and counties could raise on our properties?
That's for the tax rate. And yes, it used to be 8% for cities and ISDs, and now it's for cities it's 3.5%, and for ISDs it's 2.5%.
Yeah.
So, but again, when a natural disaster is declared, there's provisions in the law that allow that to go back up to 8%. And you know, we were covering the natural disaster for the exemption earlier in the show.
Yeah.
We might need to be on the lookout for the tax rates going up higher this year. So I think that's all the more incentive to make sure that you file your protest and, you know, take control of the value of the property, because the tax rates are kind of a little bit out of our control, because elected officials can do that. You know, nobody needs to vote on those really. So,
yeah, talk about counterintuitive. Hey, we've had a pandemic and we've had a natural disaster. So in retrospect, we're going to raise your taxes even more than they should, or we're going to raise your values even more than we should so we can increase the income coming in, which is just going to hurt the individuals more. And the individuals have already been pounded by the pandemic and the natural disaster. That's so counterintuitive and so just ineffective, in just my opinion. I'm throwing that out there.
Well, I think residential homeowners need to be extra on the lookout this year, because our residential market has been hot. And so the appraisal district's going to have the evidence to increase your value. But what's not been so good is retail, because everyone's ordering stuff on Amazon. So sales tax, so other revenue sources that are going to be lower, and I think more burdens going to be pushed on people that own residential properties. And so I think that's even more incentive to be extra judicious about filing your protest this year, because I think we have a little bit more, we're going to be targeted a little bit more because the market's been so good for us, and other sectors where income's collected from taxes have been hurt more. And, you know, those people have the money to hire attorneys to fight for them, and they're going to, you know, double down on that this year.
Yeah, it's coming. So people need to pay attention to their valuations. So Glenn, what are common questions you get from investors regarding the property tax protest process?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is a lot of people associate the protest process with their taxes directly. And, you know, when people go to the appraisal district, they say, oh, my tax bill is going out of control. You need to avoid that. You need to concentrate on just the value of the property. And the tax bill, you know, that's a two-part equation of the value and the rate.
Gotcha. So all right, Glenn. I want to thank you for coming on this morning. Again, for you listening out there, if you want to get a hold of Glenn, that's propertytax.io. My name is Mike Harrison. I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day.
Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.